Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and other shows, previous shows, are there or just one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site, and if we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net. or call us at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us streaming live on Periscope. Download the app from the Apple Store or the Android Play Store. Follow us on Twitter at DMCCEI, and you'll get instant notifications when we're live on the air. Today we'll continue in our series on the book of John, and I'm excited about what the Lord is going to be revealing to us. If you'd like to be part of this conversation this morning, give us a call at 347-857-1322, or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2, the number 2, and you can listen or chat with us online. It's my pleasure, as always, to welcome my co-host, who is faithful and just to be here with us today, Pastor Godfrey Kasiri. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you doing today?
Amen. Amen. Well, it is so glad to be talking to you again. It's been a while, and
we know that
God is richly blessing you in so many different ways. Give us an update, if you will, on what's going on in the ministry.
Ministry, we are continuing to meet at 3076 Hall Street, Lord, brother. Services begin from 3 to 5 every Sunday in the afternoon or evening. That's where we get to meet and break the word of life. We are right now sharing about the kingdom of God, and those are the series that we've been covering this number of past weeks.
Amen. I know that stuff's been good because I've been there for some of it. I wish I'd been there for all of it, but I know that's some good work. How's your lovely bride doing?
Lovely bride is doing very well. She's doing well.
And Mr. Sammy.
Mr. Sammy, I tell you, he's enjoying his summer. You know, now in the new school, he goes to his summer school. He enjoys it tremendously, brother.
Amen. I think I told you we were in John chapter 8, but actually we're beginning John chapter 9. So I know for you that's not going to be a problem. But let me pray. We're going to get started. Father, I just thank you again for the opportunity to be here today and to break the bread of life, which is your word. Father, we want to get deep into this word. We want to find out exactly what it means and be able to apply it to ourselves. We want to store your commands up within us and seek your wisdom. Cry aloud for understanding so that we can know the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And Father, as we do this, we're just going to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's see. In John chapter 9, I'm going to be reading, the New King James Version. It says in verse 1, it says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now Jesus answered in verse 3, and he said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed to him who sent me while it was day, and the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Glory be to God. And so here we see, we're going to stop right there just for a second. I know you have some comments on this. Go ahead, sir.
There is a scripture as we are reading of what Jesus replied, "But that the works of God should be made manifest." It takes me to where John was writing and said, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil." And so here we see that Jesus is starting on the work, starting to let us know that this is the very purpose. Because on John writing, him being was the beloved of Jesus, he knew that this is the very reason as to why Jesus was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. So I believe he's giving us a startup right here, that this is what we are to carry on. You remember, I know you shared the scripture with the listeners, that I know, and I will be getting to it in chapter 17. He was praying for the disciples, say, "I pray not for these alone, but also for them that will believe on the word." So I believe Jesus prayed for us in that prayer, which we'll be seeing later on in John 17. I don't want to go ahead of myself, but I believe this is the very reason for which he was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil.
Okay, so let me just kind of be almost a little carnal here. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that you can't get to heaven by works. Mm. And yet here we see that he's talking about works. And then you also see in the Bible that says that show me your faith by your works. Okay? So there's a big controversy in the church today about works. And so I want to try to delve into that just a little bit while we're here, because I think that's so important. When you go back to Abraham, okay, Abraham was the father of faith, but he really didn't even know what faith was all about.
Correct.
Because Jesus hadn't taught him what faith is. I mean, they really didn't know what that was all about. So I believe the word says that his works of obedience were counted unto him as faith.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So then this kind of puts us in a little bit of a quandary as Christians, especially as newborn Christians. You hear the church talk about you need to put your hand to the plow, you need to work, you need to get busy. And I don't disagree with that. I think it's important to get people involved in the activities of the church, because that's how they're going to learn. Mm-hmm. However, they need to be taught that it's not about what they do, but it's about how they do what they do in the spirit of what they do. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. Yes. Yeah. I would agree with that.
So we need to concentrate here in this example here. They're talking about, well, you know, did this man sin, or did his parents sin, which caused him to be blind? And they're going, Jesus replies and says, "Well, no, that has nothing to do with it." So, you know, every malady, every problem that a person has is not necessarily related to sin.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's also not necessarily related to the generational curses, which, you know, are very, very real. I'm very well aware of those.
Correct.
But sometimes it's just a setup for God to be able to show off.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the big things here, is because he says right here, he says, look, he says, none of those things are true, but the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work, and as long as I am in the world, then I am the light of the world. Now, we know that, of course, he's been replaced by the Holy Ghost, which is not really being replaced, but he's been added to, which enables us to be that light that shines in the darkness. So we boil this all back down, and we come back around to the bottom line is it's imperative for us to teach Christians that what they do is very, very important in the kingdom of God. But even more important is, why are you doing what you're doing? Okay?
Sure. Yes.
Are you doing what you're doing because you want to score points? Are you doing it out of a sense of obligation? Are you doing it because it's the trendy thing to do? Or are you really doing it because you want to manifest the presence of God on the face of this earth and do what he I need to do the works of my Father now because there's coming a time when I'm not going to be able to do them.
That's right.
Would you agree with that?
I agree with you, yes. Because I look at verse 5 where you read, it says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And I have a reflection of Matthew chapter 5. You remember where it says that ye are the light of the world. Now, that means we are also to have the works manifested through us because Christ lives in us. But as you said, are we doing it out of obedience? And I'm reminded of where Paul was saying that the gospel is preached. It might be in competition, whatever it is. So that means we might do some things, but out of competition. Or are we doing it that this is what the Lord has apportioned me to do? I'm carrying it out of the obedience. And as we are carrying it out of obedience, I believe these works are going to be manifested because, number one, we believe the word that he has given us. And faith comes also by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, combining it with what you said, faith without works, because it won't be our own works, our own struggle. It's him working in and through us to do the will of the Father.
Well, then you really can't have faith if you're not doing works. Would you agree?
True, yes. That's very
because
true.
Because works becomes the manifestation of your faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But again, it all goes back to the condition of your heart or your mind is submitted to God. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? And that's what he was trying to show them here. He was saying, look, when you see things in this world, don't necessarily limit yourself to what you see, because there may be some other issues and then the opportunities for you. And so this is where when we talk about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, we're talking about the fact that we need to pray and do what God tells us to do. And so in this situation, you know, that's exactly what he did. He prayed, and his Father told him what to do. And so he did those works in order to manifest his Father and then also his disciples how to do the same with what they were getting ready to do. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right, let's move on. That was a good discussion there, and I hope our listeners got that. You know, we're not trying to beat people in the head, but we want to make sure that they understand why it is that we do what we do. Because if we don't, then we get caught up in a whole lot of foolishness and start trying to do things to please our flesh instead of pleasing the Spirit and making Dad happy. So hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus answered. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, and this is awesome right here, and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And so he went and washed and came back seeing. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what always happens, see, now this is the thing that we have to understand. We get a lot of people get hung up on the signs and the wonders and the miracles, and there's nothing wrong with those, but those are really for the non-believer, not for the believer. Okay?
Correct.
The believer should already believe and should already know that these things are going to happen and not be really surprised when these things happen. But here's what happened. Because he did that, therefore, in verse 8, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" And some said, "That is he." Others said, "Well, he is like him." And he said, "I am he." Hallelujah. And therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" Now, see, there's a – I'm going to stop right there at verse 10 for a second and talk about this just for a minute, because what I see a lot of times is the Christians that have never really experienced the supernatural like that, when something like this happens, they get all hung up on how did it happen instead of it happened. I remember the first time I was in church and a man called me up out of the audience and he says, "You have the gift of healing in your hands." And I'm going, okay, that's nice, because, I mean, I had no idea what that was all about. And he said, "Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call this lady out of the audience," and he showed me who to call. So I called her, and she came up, and he said, "Now put her hands straight out in front of her and see if they line up." Well, the left one was about maybe an inch and a half shorter than the right one, okay?
Right.
And so he said, "Now I want you to lay hands on her and pray that limb would be straightened and grow out so that those two things would be equal." And I'm going, "Yeah, right. Okay." So I put my hand – now, this is not me praying in faith, brother. This is me praying because I was being obedient to what he told me to do. I had no understanding, no knowledge, no clue of what I was doing. Okay, I want to make that perfectly clear. And so I laid my hands on her arm, and I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this arm be grown out and that both arms would be straight in the name of Jesus." And I mean, brother, if I had not been standing there watching this thing myself and you had come up and told me this would have happened, I would have told you that you were a bald-faced liar. But I saw that left hand shoot out and line up with the right hand, and instantaneously the pain that this woman had in her back was gone.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so I'm just sitting there going, wow. I mean, that was just amazing. And so he said, "Well, I want you to do it again." And I said, "Really?" Because that time I was starting to get a little excited, you know. So I called this guy up and sat him down in a chair, and one of his legs was shorter than the other, and I laid hands on him, and that thing grew out, and I'm just sitting there going, glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
So that was building my faith and teaching me how to do these signs and wonders and use the gifts that God had imparted in my life. But I can understand these people, because there was a lot of people there in that church that were looking and going, wow. We know who this guy is. We've seen him around before, and he ain't no big deal. What's he doing up there, laying hands on people and healing people? And so that's one of the things about miracle signs and wonders is God is no respecter of persons. Okay,
no, he's not.
He's not moved by your resume or your pedigree. No. He'll use anybody that wants to be used, and that's exactly what he was doing here.
Exactly.
And again, this is one of those things where this was not an accident at all. This was part of their educational process that they had to go through.
Right.
Let's see what he says. He says verse 11. He says, "And he answered and said, 'A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight.' Then they said to him, 'Where is he?' And he said, 'I don't know.'"
Now, see that kind of obedience, like you're giving that testimony. You just heard the word was spoken, and you knew the man of God has told me, and I'm a believer. I'm going to believe. I'm going to obey.
Yeah, because I mean,
he obeyed.
Yeah, he had the opportunity to say no.
Yes.
But I think this guy really wanted to see.
He really did. He really did.
So does that say something about us, about what we really want to do?
I believe so. And, you know, it also coincides with this man. You remember, this is another man. Michael talks about him. He was blind. But all he had was he had the noise going on. Then he stood up. He threw off his jacket or his cloak, whatever it was. And he began going towards Jesus. And the disciples were kind of stopping him. And Jesus, you know, came to him. What do you want? In other words, Jesus always wants to know, do we really need it? Or, you know, we don't. But like you said, this man really wanted to see.
Amen. Amen.
And he obeyed. Mm.
Well, let's continue here and see what happens to him. Because there's always a consequence for getting saved.
That's right. That's very true.
It's going to happen. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 13, he says, they brought him which formerly was blind, to the Pharisees. Mm. Now, it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, and then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees says, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. And others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So the house was divided. And what happens to the house that's divided against itself? It ends
it's got
up
no
falling.
Stand. That's right.
Yeah, and so he says, in verse 17, he says, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. Hallelujah. In verse 18, they didn't like that, so they said, but the Jews did not believe concerning him. And there's the key right there. They didn't believe it. And so he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we don't know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. I love the sarcasm dripping all over that. That is just absolutely funny.
Now, they were beginning to deny what is happening, but, you know, in a very political way. We don't want to associate with it. We don't know what happened.
Yeah, we certainly don't want to take responsibility for it. Amen. Let's see, he says, and his parents, in verse 22, it says, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory, we know that this man is a sinner. And in verse 25, he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness gracious, that is so exciting. It was just absolutely awesome. Mm. And so what we find here is that the man answered again and said to them, why this is a marvelous thing. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go back up here. I'm sorry. I get confused sometimes. In verse, where are we at here? Here we go. Verse 26. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you always want to? Do you also want to become his disciples? Oh my goodness gracious! Boy, he soaked the fire on that one, didn't he?
He really did.
And so, verse 28, he says, "Then they reviled him and said, 'You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses, as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. And the man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man, glory be to God, were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sin, and are you are teaching us? And they cast him out.
They were always just thinking about sin. And so they associated Christ also to be a sinner. But this man, he must have had, because I'm looking at where he was talking to them in verse 27, as you read. He said, he answered them, I have told you already, you did not hear. So that means for him, he had, like you're saying, that faith comes by hearing. So when he had, he acted on. So for them, they were hearing, but I believe their hearing was so dull in that everything was associated with sin.
Yep, absolutely. And so that's the way, you know, that's the way a lot of people are in this world today. They refuse to believe. You can tell them and you can tell them and you can tell them. And
that's
nobody,
right.
I mean, unless you're lying, nobody can refute your testimony, you know. So how can they, I mean, if you tell somebody that you know, that God did this for you, how in the world can they in good conscience deny it? It just is amazing to me how that works. Let's go to verse 35, because then he said, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, well, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Hallelujah. That is just a powerful, powerful verse right there. Powerful, powerful. A proverb, if you will. And I think it really, really is indicative of the church today. Though they see, they're blind. And if they were not blind, then they would be able to see. And all they need is a little bit of Jesus. Hallelujah.
That's right. The light of the world.
Yeah, and I think that's important. That light thing is still that we're gonna talk about that all the way through this book. Hallelujah.
I believe so.
Well, as always, we're out of time. It never ceases. We know how fast this stuff goes. But next Tuesday we'll be here at 10 o'clock on blogtalkradio.com. Please take time to join us, and we certainly do appreciate your time today. Be blessed. And let the Spirit of God reign in your life. Hallelujah. Y'all have a blessed day.